top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. We're on the phones, Glenn and Philly.
Well, just the one. One more thought. We've seen the apocalypse. Citizens are having great fun right now. We've had a Cat 5 hurricane hit the Solomon Islands and Vanuatu. Now, the thing is, 27 people were killed when a ferry was capsized. Now, see, this calls into the question idea of trusting supposed leaders. You know, we've seen lots of ship accidents in recent decades. You know, we've had ships flipped over. We've had Navy ships hit freighters. We have all this stuff. And now, yes, when the guy with the fancy hat with the insignia and the scrambled eggs on the visor, you know, tells you, it's fine. Hop on board. We'll make it. We'll make one more run before the hurricane comes in. Okay? Apparently, that's a good time not to trust authority figures. Because the people, like I say, what idiot dispatches a ferry into a hurricane? You know, and it's so that, I think that's analogous to some of these other crises, you know, as in you may not want to implicitly trust the person who's supposedly in authority.
I liked the that little clip that I mentioned recently, Gon Shimura's deal, where he clipped together, you know, the mainstream coverage of what's her name, who tweeted, you know, $500 million. That's like $1 million per person in America, or $1.60, or you know, $1 million, $1.60, whatever. You know, and so when the mainstream, when CNN is saying, that's, and anyway.
Yeah, so 500 divided by 350 is how much, right?
It's $1 million. $1 million. Right on.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. I have nothing else. Take care, Chris. Bye.
Appreciate it. All right. Quickly back to the phones. We got some other stuff to do here, but Ken in New York, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. I'd like to talk about Bill Gates for a moment. I'm starting to get the impression that he's in over his head and he's getting scared. It seems like when he talks, his voice is cracking more than it did. Do you feel that way?
Something similar, I think, which is why I said yesterday, I think he seems vulnerable to me. Honestly, I think I would imagine that he's sort of the mule in a sense, which is why I said, I wonder if he gets made fun of at World Economic Forum, you know, hey, new money guy. He's definitely the face of just about everywhere you look. You know, there are myriad organizations. You can go to the Gates Foundation and see the portfolio of investments, for example, and all of the vaccine, biotech, pharmaceutical companies. And then, you know, all of this other stuff that we've mentioned recently, ID 2020, Gavi, CEPI, the COVID Therapeutics Accelerator, and everywhere you look, he is the front guy, but he definitely seems uncomfortable. And people who, people who say, well, you know, maybe he's just one of those nerdy introvert kind of people. No, he's been globetrotting for decades, speaking all around the world in front of public audiences. Don't give me that stuff that he's just nervous. I disagree, and I think you're right. There seems to be a perceptible increase in his discomfort, and
I have something to add to it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you.
All right.
This started about 20 or so years ago, I think. I think he's being hosed by one of his buddies, or he's been set up be the face, and I think the guy that did it is that old ice cream licking fool Warren Buffett. You remember the early stories about, oh, he's taking an interest in young Bill Gates, and he's having lunch and playing checkers with him. And I think he did it. You know what the term "turn" is? They made a a cable show out of it. I think he was turned by the old ice cream-looking fool. Who you never hear him attached to any of this, very little. But I did notice lately it's been said that he does a lot of business in China, which I didn't realize.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
So he's just sitting there eating his ice creams and smiling, and Bill Gates is going to take the fall for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess maybe some things don't change in Omaha. I don't know. Some things, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Or Denmark, for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
If you have time for another one, you've heard about the antibiotic that's supposed to be given along with this a quinine derivative or something like that for the coronavirus.
All
right.
It's
I think the one that it's called Z-Pak or Zithromycin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just did a check last night, and it's involved in a bunch of lawsuits and class action lawsuits.
Right.
And I have symptoms that it says it can cause odd symptoms like retinal damage and congestive heart failure. And it sounds like another Levaquin type thing where it seems to cause problems that are completely unrelated to what it's treating.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the way of the pharmacological world. You can't, how are you supposed to make money if you don't create five more problems with every new problem-solving thing you prescribe? It's amazing to me. I don't understand how that persists. You know, I know from my own just listening to folks that I've heard talk about this stuff. That it's what seems to happen every time something gets prescribed, and the next thing I know, the person has a pillbox with a tray for every day of the week, because I have so many now I can't even keep track of all of them. But, you know, they went in and there was one prescription, and the next thing you know, there are 5 to 8. So.
Yes. I fight with my doctors all the time. I just tell them if I don't see a benefit right away, it's not going to, you know, I'm not going to take it. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they'll put down everything is AMA, against medical advice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your advice has a conflict of interest because you're basically writing scripts out to keep from losing your license.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's take my call.
You bet. Thank you, Ken. Much appreciated. I definitely think, you know, and that's something I've spoken to. Bill Gates seems more uncomfortable than he's seemed in the past. He always seems squirmy, like he's, you know, a greased pig when he's sitting in the chair in particular. But all the more so, and I don't think it's just because the things that he's saying are suspect, to say the least. I think, you know, the word that keeps coming to my mind is suborn. And it's apparently, I think, what was it? There were several articles that said that when John Brennan said that in his congressional testimony, that the searches for the word suborn skyrocketed in the, you know, that same day and subsequently, apparently. Speaking of William Hazeltine and hydroxychloroquine, there was a March 25th, Forbes article by Hazeltine. Hydroxychloroquine is ineffective in treatment of patients hospitalized with COVID-19, according to small controlled trial from Shanghai. And Hazeltine would know. So, you know, I mean, the whole HIV/AIDS contingent has maintained that line, haven't they? Every day that you hear Fauci, definitely. and certainly Gates and certainly Hazeltine. The only hope we have, Fauci even says that, the only hope we have to return, you know, is vaccine. That's the only hope we have, the only hope humanity has. Because that saved us so well so far. So you can see, anybody who's been paying attention can see the coordinated psyop that's being waged. You know, certain things were happening. There are some curious coincidences. I don't understand how they all fit together. I've talked about some of the organizations and some of the people. Hazeltine is a guy that I think should be focused on that I don't hear anybody talking about. Honestly, he just seems like an Alan Dulles type. You know, I think if MK Ultra could have, you know, the drug aspect could have continued, I think Hazeltine, you know, is your man. That's just my suspicion at this point. So there are a lot of weird coincidences of timing. I just mentioned some of that history that just doesn't add up, you know, earlier, a couple of segments ago, I think. And in addition to that, we've talked about things like, you know, the curious timing of the BSL-4 lab in Wuhan, right around the same time, you know, and then we get all of these special pathogens units. 10 of those is what I understand here in America, which, you know, why? Same time frame. All of a sudden, Bill Gates is running around saying we're not ready. And there's a lot of other stuff that goes into that. Some of these patents that are curious, you know, the 5G timing, all of it is very interesting. I think very interesting timing. And, you know, again, exactly. I mean, I agree. So is the Chinese foreign minister who's saying, so when exactly was patient zero in America? I mean, we hear one thing, but then we hear reason to believe other things, as Tucker Carlson mentioned, you know, that clip we played to begin today's broadcast. So can we get to the bottom of all of this? And it's very obvious, I think, that there's an effort to obfuscate exactly what happened when to not only keep the ongoing data, you know, lies, damn lies, and statistics sort of opaque and ambiguous, as they say, so that you can't quite clearly understand the data. There was that Google spreadsheet that was published early on. I think that's sort of evaporated into the shadows a little bit. Not as visible as it was, if it's even updated anymore. So there are a lot of these curiosities. But we have to keep pushing the narrative, and like Bill Gates said, the numbers are important. What numbers? Well, the modeling numbers, of course. Ah. But as has been pointed out, the whole country, let alone the whole world, is not New York and New Jersey. By the way, I think is good reason, again, maybe not to be stacked up on top of one another. Even Donald Trump mentioned that's a significant factor. I want to play some of this. Yeah, we're getting, I don't know, maybe we can do this anyway. I'm running long in the tooth. That's my fault. I want to play the Hazeltine clip. I think, you know, and he gets the, is there anything that keeps you up at night? Wasn't that the way that Dana Perino phrased it? She sort of stepped back from that, but basically said the same thing. So this was a week ago. Exactly. And for some reason, it stuck in my mind, and I've mentioned it several times and finally found it, so here it is. Go ahead, please.
William Hazeltine. He's chair and president of Access Health International. He designed the strategy to develop the first treatment for HIV/AIDS. And last fall, he chaired the U.S.-China Health Summit in Wuhan, where this all began. And Dr. Hazeltine, thank you so much for being available to us today. One thing that's a little bit confusing that maybe you could help us understand is this question that we still don't know how contagious the virus is, if people can get reinfected. When will we be able to know more about that so that we can then plan ahead for reopening and get the economy back and on track?
Well, we know it's highly infectious, and as the days go by, we're learning it's more infectious than we thought it was, say, a month ago, even 2 weeks ago. So it is highly infectious, as infectious or maybe even slightly more than some strains of influenza. So that's the answer to your first question. You've asked a very interesting second question, which is, can you be reinfected once you have survived the infection? And that question is still open. It's open because in the case of SARS and MERS, there was evidence that people could be reinfected after they had recovered from the first infection. And certainly there's evidence in animals that animals who also have coronaviruses may be reinfected. I should say we don't know the answer yet for this virus, for the viruses causing COVID. It's possible. It may be somewhat less likely because you make a more aggressive immune response. But there are a lot of unknowns. We don't know how long the immune system protects you, even if you have cleared the virus. So there's some big questions that it's going to take some time before we have the answer. It's not time to do the studies. It's just how long it takes you to follow somebody who's been infected and recovered to see what happens to them.
Right. And it's a race against the clock, indeed. I also think that there's some confusion about masks, whether we should use them out and about. If I'm healthy today, like, should I, if I go to the grocery store, should I wear them? Take a look at even the Surgeon General and the President of the United States, both trying to grapple with this issue. Take a look.
If you're sick, wear a mask. If you have a mask and it makes you feel better, then by all means, wear it. But know that the more you touch your face, the more you put yourself at risk. And know that right now the data isn't quite there to say that there's a net benefit of individuals to the individual of wearing a mask.
We'll take a look at it for a period of time, not forever. I mean, you know, we want our country back. We're not going to be wearing masks forever, but it could be for a short period of time. After we get back into gear, I could see something like that happening for a period of time. But I would hope it would be a very limited period of time. Doctors, they'll come back and say for the rest of our lives, we have to wear masks.
And as we try to figure this out, Doctor, in your opinion, what would you recommend to people?
You know, I think for a number of reasons, it's better to wear a mask when you go outside. First thing, it protects, if you are infected, it gives some protection for people around you. It's also a psychological effect. That is, if you're wearing a mask, you're going to be more aware of your surroundings. You'll be more aware of the danger that you can be infected or possibly infect others. And then finally, although you have to put the mask on your face, it prevents you from touching your face, which is one of the major ways you can be infected. So there's a number of reasons that we should wear masks as we go out.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I think, as the president said, where it's not forever, but it is now. Let me just say what's happening around the world. If you look in Austria, you can't go into a shop anymore if you're not wearing a mask. It's against the law. Also, if you look at what happened in Italy, at first people thought you were nuts if you're wearing a mask. Now they think you're nuts if you're not wearing a mask. And in China, it's more of a sign that you respect your fellow citizens. So there's a lot of reasons to recommend wearing a mask. After I've heard this recent discussion and you asked me these questions, I've ordered a lot of masks myself just now.
Well, that gives me some perspective indeed. Can I ask you one last question? And I was kind of putting you on the spot, but for somebody like you with the expertise that you have and the background that you have, what is the biggest problem you would like to see us try to solve? Like, is there anything that, not that keeps you up at night, but is there a question or a worry that you have that we should be paying attention to?
Yeah, there is. And it's called contact tracing. The way the Chinese controlled this, and Koreans, Singaporeans, and others controlled this, was by rigorous contact tracing and isolation of those who were exposed, not just those who were infected. And it wasn't only based on tests. They did it regardless of the test results, because they didn't necessarily trust their test results. I had a friend, an American, who flew from Frankfurt to Shanghai. There was somebody on the plane infected. Everybody on the plane was contacted and placed for 14 days in isolation in a hotel room. They could not unlock their, they could not leave their door for 14 days from time of exposure. That's how the Chinese did it. We don't do anything like that yet. We need to be more aggressive about contact tracing and mandatory isolation of people who've been in contact with those who are infected. That's what gets me up at night, because I don't want our country to go the way Italy's going. Today is worse than yesterday for Italy. They're not out of the woods yet. And even though people are staying home, the Italian authorities aren't doing the contact tracing. I'm glad you asked me that, because that actually does keep me up at night.
Well, I'm glad that I asked you that, too. And maybe it'll keep me up at night, too, as well. Now, we'll have you back, Dr. William Hazeltine. Thank you so much. Your expertise is invaluable.
So contact tracing keeps William Hazeltine up at night? That's interesting. That's a very disturbing, you know, the psychological effect. Like I said, that was when I noticed that. So William Hazeltine, president, Access Health International, which is a curious organization in itself, he designed the strategy to develop the first treatment to fight HIV/AIDS. What does that even mean? He designed the first strategy to develop the first treatment? It sounds like there's more to the story to me. And last fall, he chaired the, this was the ninth, by the way, U.S.-China Health Summit, the ninth U.S.-China Health Summit over there. And he had a friend. He had a friend who recently returned on a flight from China. Didn't you just return on a flight from China? It's curious how these things get omitted. And so did he put himself in quarantine? Was he quarantined after he returned? And why didn't they necessarily trust their test results? And if they didn't, then should we trust tests that come from them? That's a curious thing too. He doesn't want our country to go the way of Italy. What a patriot. You know, you mean being honest about reporting the numbers after the fact that there were a number of comorbidity factors and that, you know, maybe these numbers have been dramatically inflated? He doesn't want America to go that way. Interesting stuff. And the contact tracing thing, that's the thing that's particularly disturbing. I think we need to be looking closer at William Hazeltine. Speaking of looking closer, it's interesting, you know, just a quick little thing. I think MSN has accidentally been reporting some interesting things that don't fit Bill Gates' narrative. The Sky News story that MSN carried, this was earlier today, the European countries beginning to lift lockdown measures. The leaders of Denmark, Czech Republic, and Austria are considering easing coronavirus lockdown restrictions. Schools and daycare centers are set to reopen in Denmark on April 15. Now, think about that. Because when you go back and review the information that I already mentioned, then you should start scratching your head. Why is this happening in these countries while we're getting the heavy hand treatment here in America? And I think the answer is obvious, because we're going to get the smackdown so that then it's basically cowing the herd to make sure that the stuff rolls downhill, so to speak. The same kind of psychological inertment that we receive here will be rolled out to our friends and neighbors around the world. And, you know, for that matter, I think people should be scratching their heads about all these ships. Haven't these people been locked together? And why are we seeing all of these signs that say don't drive? Why is Deborah Birx concerned? If you're in the car together, isn't that... how is that endangering other people? Does driving suddenly endanger folks? And like Richie says, does the virus only come out at night? Is that why we have to have curfews? We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Bottom of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Tuesday, April 7, 2020. One more little clip here in a second. We'll go back to the phones. Senator Rick Scott was on with Tucker Carlson last night talking about some interesting things. So speaking of that, you know, we played the clip earlier, speaking of the World Health Organization, these contradictions on mask wearing. You know, if Mike Tyson, Jerome Adams, and again, I mean, I like Jerome. I think that, I don't know, I want to believe that he means well. But when you say there's no evidence, I don't know, maybe, you know, and this is a statement that's been reiterated several times, then why is anyone wearing a mask? And it's insane. Speaking of the psychological impact, one of the reasons I wanted to play the Hazeltine clip, and there were others, you know, other clips that we've played, people saying the same thing, the psychological effect. Go on social media and look at what people are doing and saying and posting. Pictures, selfies with, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but it's to me, it's horrifying to see. And it really calls to mind the quote that I mention often, too often these days, you know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer on stupidity. Kind of stupidity that grips society. You know, when there's, upon closer observation, it becomes apparent that every strong upsurge of power in the public sphere, be it of a political or religious nature, infects a large part of humankind with stupidity. And, you know, the stupid person gives up their autonomy. He wrote, in conversation with him, one virtually feels one is dealing not at all with him as a person, but with slogans, catchwords, and the like. Flatten the curve. That kind of stuff. That have taken possession of him. He is under a spell, blinded, misused, and abused in his very being. Having thus become a mindless tool, the stupid person will also be capable of any evil, and at the same time incapable of seeing that it is evil. This is where the danger of diabolical misuse lurks, for it is this that can once and for all destroy human beings. And when you look at social media, you see that. You see people reduced to chatbots, posting little selfies and then chatbotting together about, and if you're going to follow the guidance at this point, then you don't use a mask. You wear some piece of clothing, and that has its own concerns, I would say. You know, a la, I don't know, strategy of tension kinds of things. You know, you start, you know, speaking of face coverings, it's another opportunity. You put all of these things together, you know, another opportunity for synthetic terror. Imagine, you know, CNN just ran a piece over the weekend, and there I've seen others, about cabin fever and the symptoms and things. And when you start thinking about that, you start thinking about what the media portrayal of the self-radicalized, you know, person, the Adam Lanza effect is what I might call it, you know. Someone sitting in a room alone for extended periods of time, then suddenly becomes self-radicalized, which we know is not the case. But that's the depiction that is given. So you put that together with what's going on and face coverings. Suddenly it's an opportunity for synthetic terror, I would say. Think of Antifa violence and provocateurism blamed on you, for example, in Frank Kitson counter gang fashion. There was another piece, speaking of this kind of stuff, you know, there's the Kentucky ankle bracelet article. There was another, I think it was an AP piece, and we should play that too. Christians are idiots endangering us all is really what it could have been titled. And again, what happens is, because there is no pushback, you know, these are humble, modest, unassuming folks, generally speaking, who get vilified in Frank Kitson counter gang fashion. You either find or you create some group that is obviously villainous, and then you associate that group with the broader group that you want to vilify. That's what's happening. So, you know, again, you can imagine, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, you know, especially with what we've seen with all the boarding up of stores, that portrayal of things and the possibility of unrest. And again, looking at the sequence of events, you know, the United States military planning for social breakdown by 2025 or maybe now, you know, information warfare campaigns by now and those kinds of things. How did they know? Were they psychic? I've mentioned the advent of Net War for years, which is published by the RAND Corporation in 1996. And again, how did they know? Were they psychic, or were they, you know, was it part of a HOP operation, help, you know, happen on purpose, whether it's help it, whether it's let it, help it, or make it happen on purpose. You know, like Brzezinski said about what happened in Afghanistan. We didn't force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene. So, you know, people are not doing the clothing covering, which I don't even think is a good idea because I don't want Antifa violence and provocateurism to break out as a result of crowds on demand and Frank Kitson counter gang fashion showing up, being bussed in, and then bussed out. And one other point, the unemployment issue is something, you know, I mentioned the numbers, talked about those. And I have misgivings. I don't want to talk about the unemployment numbers because when you really think about it, I mean, if we're going to have that conversation, let's maybe frame it this way. I think it's a miracle that 100 or 200 million people haven't filed for unemployment. Obviously, anyone who could blame anyone for filing for unemployment? There are employers who have paid folks for however long, you know, folks not working, folks while, you know, this is whatever this is happening. There are employers who've said, we'll pay you for a couple of weeks and then we encourage you to file for unemployment. So who could blame folks under the circumstances? But I think it's a testament, in my humble estimation, and this may be short-sighted, I admit, but it's a testament to American pride that 100 million people haven't filed for unemployment. Under the circumstances, it's miraculous that hasn't happened. Maybe I'm missing something, but that's the way I see that issue, which I think is, if it's anything along the lines of what I'm thinking, then I think that's fantastic and courageous of the American people to hang in there. I think that many people are underestimated, perhaps even by me. All right, so I want to give you the clip that I mentioned. Senator Rick Scott, Florida, Senator Rick Scott talking about, well, just listen to this. Go ahead, please.
Senator Rick Scott represents the state of Florida. He'd like to investigate the World Health Organization for what it's done in response to this pandemic. Senator, thanks so much for coming on tonight. Tell us why you believe the World Health Organization is in part culpable for this disaster.
Well, first off, they just work for China, Communist China. First, they said on January 14th in a tweet that there's no evidence that there was human-to-human transmission. Lie. Then they said, like, I think on the 20th or something, China's doing a great job. Lie. I asked them, and then when Trump did the right thing by doing the travel ban, they attacked Trump for doing the wrong thing. I asked them to do an investigation of China back in February. I started talking about this like you did back in January. Did they ever do it? No. If they had done their job, everybody would have gotten more ready. We wouldn't have shut down this economy, and we wouldn't have all these people dead all over the world. So I went an investigation. I'm on Homeland Security. I've talked to the chairman, Ron Johnson. He's agreed to do it. We're going to investigate why did they do what they did? What was their purpose? And why are we, as American taxpayers, giving them some of our dollars?
Yeah, I mean, Bill Gates, who is the single largest donor, I think he gives more than anybody other than the United States World Health Organization, is out there this week saying the lockdown needs to continue indefinitely. Why are the people affiliated with the World Health Organization still treated as serious people when so many of them are liars and buffoons?
Well, first off, we should never, ever buy one more product from China. When you buy a product from China, you have to say, that's the group of people. All right, that completely lied to us and forced us to shut down our economy and killed American citizens and Italian and Spaniards on top of stealing all of our jobs before. They lie, and the WHO has been right up there with them, helping them. They've parroted whatever Communist China said.
How long are we going to continue to fund this organization, do you think?
I hope this is the last year. And by the way, not only do I not want to fund the WHO, let's get the information. I can't imagine it's going to get any better than what we already know. But why are we funding organizations that are lying to us? I think we pay about 21% of their budget. China is way less than 1% of their budget. So what's going on here? Why are they parroting what China's doing? And did they follow their protocol? I doubt that they follow their protocol for for pandemics. I bet the WHO didn't do it, and why didn't they do it? So, and by the way, we've got to create an American delivery system for pandemics, for protective gear, for ventilators, for therapeutics. Stop this stuff of relying on China for anything.
Senator, thanks so much for that. Great to see you tonight.
I agree with a lot of that. I think we need to go higher up the food chain, so to speak, as I mentioned earlier. I don't think the, you know, Chinese people at large, or even the Chinese government per se, is responsible for what is happening. I think we have to go higher up the food chain. Speaking of the World Health Organization, which is why I played that clip again, the Gates Foundation is deeply in bed with the World Health Organization. Sky News Australia ran a segment recently titled "The World Health Organization is a Joke," and China Uncensored ran a piece titled "Coronavirus: How World Health Organization Who Corrupted Corruption Helped It Spread." And so, you know, again, I think we need to be asking questions, as Senator Rick Scott mentioned. I found that piece that I mentioned. We'll play this and then get back to the phones here in a second. So this is a Washington Post video on YouTube, actually, that ran a couple of days ago titled, "This Louisiana Church is Defying the Coronavirus Lockdown. We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Now listen to how these people are portrayed. Go ahead, please.
You're not worried about the virus?
No, I'm not. I have no reason to be.
And you won't. You guys won't get the virus because of your beliefs?
Yes.
No, I won't get the virus because Jesus says I'm not.
If you got God inside of you, you have nothing to worry about. You're good.
I moved here from Texas for this church, so it's definitely essential in my life.
We are continuing to have services with some restrictions. We have told our older parishioners and our parishioners that have pre-existing conditions to stay home. We take everyone's temperature when they come through the doors. We have people use hand sanitizer often. We have refrained from handshaking and hugging until after this pandemic is over. We're maintaining 6 feet. They would rather come to church and worship like free people than they had lived like prisoners in their homes for 22 days now. Could it be that the depression and the anxiety and the emotion problems that we're facing right now, clinical problems that is being brought on by this virus, could it be that it is worse than the people who have already contracted this virus and died?
I think it's utterly ridiculous that they're doing what they're doing. I have an idea of why. To me, they're just afraid they're not going to get enough money in the collection plate. And if you notice, they go around collecting, picking up people like the elderly who is vulnerable and is listening to what they say.
The poorest of the poor do not have cars or other ways to get to church. So this church has 26 buses, and they go and they pick up their congregation all throughout the Baton Rouge General Metropolitan Area. And we don't believe the governor's order is legal because both the federal constitution and the state constitution protect our right of free exercise and our right to peacefully assemble for that purpose. As far as we know, we don't have any reported cases. We expect that some of our congregation will eventually get it, just like the rest of the country, and we will deal with it when it comes. I mean, we don't have an invisible shield that protects us.
Well, that's all you got to do is trust the Lord. If you trust the Lord, people in the Bible have been healed.
I preach we have nothing to fear but fear itself. We had an emotional time, had water baptisms, and a lot of people saved today.
Virus feeds on fear. I don't have fear. I have faith.
I'm not scared of this virus. When it's my time, it's my time.
If you're scared to die, everybody want to go to heaven, but don't nobody want to die. When my day come, I ain't mad with the world.
You can obviously infer what I mean. So, you know, but Joel Osteen has been all over Fox News in particular. I mean, I guess these people just go to the wrong congregation. I don't know. Louisiana needs to get a Joel Osteen, apparently, and then everything would be fine. And that obviously is, I don't know, poor tongue-in-cheek humor. But this is the kind of thing, you know, and again, for this to run at this time of year, I think is particularly distasteful, as though this represents, you know, and no offense to these people either, per se, but, you know, obviously it's meant to characterize all Christians in a particular way and very offensive. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. You heard it in the AP segment. You know, if you listen to the Washington Post, all Christians are, you know, toothless, idiot terrorists endangering us all. And, or maybe they share a set of teeth or whatever. And all Muslims, you know, if you listen to the Washington Post, all Muslims are either care representatives or terrorists. and all Jews are probably Zionists. But, you know, like Joe Biden said, you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. Anyway, we need to decompress a little bit and not listen to this nonsense too much. Back to the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. You know, before you said what you did about, masks and the psychological effect and all, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine just a few minutes ago, and what we're seeing, I believe, Chris, is a mass. How do I put it into words? A mass mind control, like almost like a torturous mind control, because you're telling people we're social, you know, we're born to be social people, and you're saying you can't associate, you can't go here, you can't go there, and people are okay with it. It's almost like a trauma-based mind control.
Absolutely.
300 million people in this country, but 6+ billion people worldwide, and people are
I've been threatening the last few days in particular to, in my own mind, read excerpts from Orwell's 1984, because, you know, at this point, and that's one of the aspects, you know.
I know we're running short on time, so I want to give you a couple of just a stanza maybe and a half of a song that says a lot to me, and it's Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence. You know, let's see, because it all applies. Okay. In the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, hearing without listening. Now I'm just speeding it up. Writing songs of voices never shared. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. And then, and skip down one, it says, the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made, and the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said, the words of the prophets are written on subway halls and subway walls and tenement halls. So here we are. We're not even supposed to really communicate. You know, people, 6 feet, wear your mask. Yeah. Chris, what is it doing? We see what it's doing to adults. Think about the evil and what it's doing to the children and the young children. Think about how vile and evil a mind has to be to tell a grandchild that his grandparent can't pick him up. Think about that.
Yep.
You're not, you know. All right.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. Makes me think of the band Disturbed and their reimagining of the song Sound of Silence. Look the band up. That'll do it for today's broadcast. Thanks, folks. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company. And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.